The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Meanwhile, enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, peteevans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it. Shane, thank you so much for joining us. How are you, brother?
I'm very well, thank you, Pete. It's lovely to meet you. Thank you very much for inviting me to have this conversation with you.
I'm looking forward to it, mate, and I like where you're sitting. I like the vibe that you've got going on around you too.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Looks very comfortable.
Yeah. So this is where I've been living pretty much in the same area in North London, in a place called Highgate in the United Kingdom. With my wife for about 17 years, but we're about to move in, it'll be 4 weeks yesterday, and we'll be moving away from London. So it's going to be the end of an era, but a new beginning for us.
Let's talk about that, because I was thinking about this this morning, actually, or last night. I can't remember whether it was as I was falling asleep or when I was waking up, and it was about change and being comfortable in the uncertainty of it, because we seem to be living in a reality over the last 18 months of massive uncertainty. And with the work that you do, how common is this theme for your clients?
Wow, that's a really great question. You know, so I've been working for the last 20 years as a hypnotherapist here, and I specialize particularly in helping people to transform the quality of how they communicate toward themselves about themselves, the stories we tell ourselves about ourselves. And, you know, I think that we've all been challenged in so many ways over the last year and stuck in many ways in an imposed, unnatural environment. So on a certain level, it's given people an opportunity to take a little backward step and look at themselves, maybe in a way that they wouldn't have done ordinarily if we would have just carried on doing the usual day-to-day things that we were doing before the situation with the lockdown. And I think that regularity sometimes creates stuckness in people because we don't actually get around to looking at ourselves in that kind of transparent and courageous way that is necessary if we really want to make progress. We need to have the courage to look at ourselves and think, well, okay, what can I do to improve my relationship with myself? And so, yeah, I think a lot of people have taken the opportunity to unstick themselves or to take a look at the work of unsticking themselves. How about you? What's your experience?
Everything. Yeah, I would say everything. I've had a great opportunity to definitely walk some different paths over the last 18 months. Some of them I've run or ran towards. Other ones I've retreated from as well, which has been interesting. Really interesting for me to witness the uncertainty of these times, you know. And it was interesting because I was reading quite a few things yesterday. I did a podcast with a very prominent doctor from the United States. His name is Dr. Peter McCulloch, and he's been on the front lines pretty much for the pandemic. And I won't say the word shouting because he has a very calm and subtle manner, but he has definitely been presenting evidence in all the right channels about what has been going on and how to treat coronavirus or coronaviruses, especially COVID-19. And we had a two-hour conversation yesterday, and at the end of it, it was so synchronistic because I hopped onto social media and there was this five-minute video that someone posted from the senators in the United States yesterday, and they mentioned Dr. Peter McCulloch. I thought, how synchronistic is this? And then something else popped up yesterday, and it was Dr. Peter McCulloch again. I thought, how fascinating that I'm getting to spend 2 hours with this gentlemen, that may be the pivotal point in human history for not only debunking this coronavirus, but actually setting a new course. And at the same time that this was unfolding and I'm seeing light at the end of this tunnel, I'm looking at the mainstream news and I'm seeing pretty much the exact opposite of what's happening at the G7 leadership in your hometown
yes,
at the
that's
moment
right.
Of what our prime minister and what your prime minister and what the president of the United States and what their plan is for the future. And there's this real sort of nearly split in reality, like a proper split in reality. And I was talking to my wife about it and she said, you know, the beautiful thing about planet Earth and our human experience is we get to co-create. So what we focus on, we can create more of, you know?
Absolutely, that's the truth.
It's like, whoa, what a strange place to be in right now, though. Like where we can actually nearly see the splitting of the paths, and
yes,
and it's difficult for me to see that there isn't a fight happening, especially when I spoke with Dr. Peter McCulloch yesterday, because when we stopped recording, and I'm sure he's okay with me saying this, but he said, this is a war that we're in right now, and you can take that any which way. And I'd like to hear your interpretation of what a war or a battle means in relation to hypnotherapy and the human path.
Okay. So firstly, I don't personally like the term hypnotherapy or hypnotherapist to describe the work I do, because people have all kinds of very strange ideas about what that might be. And they very often think that the therapist is going to do something to you, so you don't have any work to do, and then you're going to be all right, which is not the case. So the way I describe what I do is I help people to identify negative patterns of internal dialogue, the way we speak to ourselves about ourselves, those old, maybe hurtful, unhelpful, negative beliefs we pick up about ourselves along the way because of experience we've had in our past, and potentially trauma. I've worked with a lot of people, sadly, over the years who've experienced a lot of trauma, a lot of rape and sexual assault and violent relationships, you know, that kind of thing. And no matter what the person's been through, the patterns that we pick up along the way and the habits of giving ourselves a hard time or communicating toward ourselves in very self-limiting or abusive ways, they become unconsciously perpetuated in the way we talk to ourselves about ourselves. All of us communicate on the inside, in many cases in words. We have conversations with ourselves or the voices in our head. And in other cases, people don't relate particularly to having a dialogue with themselves, but they replay old hurtful memories over and over on loop, or they go off in their imagination on all kinds of tangents, like, if only in the past, if I'd have done this, if I'd have said that, if I hadn't have done that. And then I never wanted to become a therapist. I was introduced to a gentleman who became my teacher. His name was Vernon C.F. Bell. He was famously known as the founding father of the British karate movement in 1957. And he was also a founder member of the British Association of Therapeutic Hypnotists in 1951. It's the oldest regulatory body for hypnotherapy in the United Kingdom. And he was my friend first, but he also was a very experienced hypnotherapist. And one day he asked me, do I or do I not wish to study with him? And only a yes or no would do in my answer. So I realized after several hours of being in his company that I couldn't give him a poor excuse as to why I would say no, because I respected him too much. And the only reason I said yes is because I realized every excuse I was coming up with would have been a really piss poor excuse. And so that's the only reason I said yes. But I studied with him for the last 4 years of his life. And during that time, he took me through a process where he helped me to identify the unhelpful stories that I'd been telling myself that I picked up along the way because of upsets and, yeah, difficult, challenging times I had in my past. And I was doing it completely unconsciously for 20 years of my life. And he helped me to firstly identify what I'd been saying to myself and the ways I'd been holding myself back. And then he taught me how to to harness my creative imagination to effectively shift my perspective on the way I view myself. So I'm no longer communicating about those past beliefs, because those things happen. We can't change what's happened, but what we can do is change how we choose to relate to the things we've experienced in the past, so that we don't drag the negative emotions or the mental clutter with us and drag it into the now, into the present moment, or project it into the future in our imaginations in such a way that we assume we're just going to meet up with the same old rubbish. So what he taught me, the methodology, is what I refer to as the dialogue of self-liberation. And this is essentially what I've been passing on, this understanding and this methodology, to the people for the last 20 years who come to see me for help. So I know that was a little bit of a long-winded introduction, but it gives you a bit of an idea about what kind of particular area of specialization that I focus on. Yes, the work is hypnotherapy, but it's very much to do with helping people to harness their own creative imagination and the power of their creative imagination, and then to work with that to alter the way they respond, say, for instance, to memories of things that have happened to them in the past that may have been traumatic or very challenging. So those memories no longer have any energy to influence, or magnetism, mental or emotional magnetism, to draw that person back into the old feelings. And when we do this, when we learn how to do that, it creates like a blank slate or a blank canvas for us to begin to really experience being present now and explore who we actually are now beneath all that old clutter.
Yeah, I find this fascinating. I know this is part of our journey, is to get to that state of neutrality where new occurrences happen for us, and we'll take the last year and a half, for instance, or the last year, where something can emerge. And instead of us going into a pre-programmed or pre-patterned behavior, which might be limiting, we can present this new challenge, even if we... maybe a challenge isn't even the right word to describe what is happening, but this new experience, and be neutral in it and observe ourselves, and then creatively express what is powerful for us to move forward. Yeah, maybe even the powerful isn't the right word, but in the flow for us. And
yes,
and I find this to be such a beautiful area to explore, because over the years, when you do meet people and you're in their presence, and I'll use this as an example. My wife and I have just recently opened a health retreat, and one of the things you notice very quickly is individuals would like to share their story or stories. We seem to take our stories with us always, many of us, and we seem to share them with people. And from my observation, whether it be at our health retreat and listening to people's stories, and in the right set and setting, it allows people to bring them up to have an intention on which they wish to clear them or release them or replace them. But in life, and for the listeners and for the viewers out there, I would invite you to spend the next week or 2 weeks, when you meet people in your, whether it be your friends or family or whoever you might meet, and just listen and observe what stories they bring up, and whether they're offering you the burden of trying to help them, or whether they're just putting it onto you for them to release. And maybe you can explain why that may not be the healthiest way for these people to continue repeating their stories.
Yeah. Well, in developing the dialogue of self-liberation, there's a very distinct methodology with what Vernon taught me. We present this in online courses, which we're running via a website, which we have. And when I say we, it's myself and my dear friend, Peter Truman, who lives in Cambodia. And we've developed this work together over the last several years to present it to more people, basically. And there are so many people around the world who are suffering from a negative internal dialogue. We refer to it as the hidden epidemic. So when we get used to talking to ourselves, telling ourselves the the same old story about our problems, and how the classic one is I'm not good enough. The theme, I'm not good enough. It's rampant all around the world, people believing that in one way or another or several that they're not good enough. And they would torment themselves and punish themselves in all kinds of ways based upon that belief. So we make use of looking toward other people and developing the ability to listen to the examples which other people set in when we listen to how they speak, which is back to what you were just saying. So our problems persist because people communicate toward themselves about the past as if it were the present or the future. And then we remain stuck. It's a little bit like being on a wheel. I use a lot of metaphor and symbolism in this work. It's like being on a hamster on a wheel. Yeah. Little hamsters on there. And every time it has that thought, this is the I'm not good enough wheel. And every time the hamster's on there, it's gotten used to putting one little foot in front of the other. And so the wheel spins. And sometimes it's based on that dialogue. I'm not good enough. No one thinks I'm good enough. I'm never going to be good enough. As an example of negative inner chat. And so the wheel spins sometimes so fast the poor little thing can't keep up, and it's flung around like it's in a tumble dryer. And then, of course, it bumps itself and it's battered and disorientated, and it takes a while to gather itself together. And then it's straight back on the wheel doing the same thing. But that's what we end up doing unconsciously when we get into the habit of talking to ourselves in self-depreciating or self-abusive or self-limiting ways. And sometimes it can be incessant. It's like this just constant barrage. Even if people are successful in certain areas in their lives, there's that background chatter that sometimes it's just can be relentless, terribly draining, terribly destructive, and if nothing else, very, very limiting. It limits the person's capabilities and capacities. And so the very first skill that Vernon encouraged me to develop when I first started to study with him was developing the mindfulness of self-communication. He said, literally the first day I went to study with him, if you want to feel better about yourself and the life you're living, then the first thing you need to do is develop the skill of listening to what you're actually telling yourself from moment to moment. What are you saying to yourself about yourself now? And is what you're saying an example of replaying an old hurtful memories again, dragging yourself back into that feeling, or projecting into a future in your imagination in which you continue to feel rubbish about yourself? If so, and you want to begin to feel different, you have to develop the skill of the mindfulness of self-communication and the ability to listen. So with regard to other people, we have an opportunity in listening to the people around us when they communicate about their problems, their insecurities, their wobbles. I guarantee you, every single one of them, totally unconsciously, will be communicating about those things in the present tense or the future tense or combinations of the two. Very specifically through certain words like I am, I feel, I always, I'll never. Why does it always happen to me is a premonition in our imaginations of a future in which it always happens to me. Why won't I ever manage to is the similar thing. What's wrong with me? That's another one. There's a deep hidden implication there that I've already surrendered my sense of self to the idea that there's something wrong with me. Yeah, we say, what's wrong with me? But we've already presupposed there's something wrong with me. And we say these things completely unconsciously. And every time we do, we're programming our subconscious mind to accept, oh, that's what you want me to believe, is it? That's how you want me to react into the future. That's how you want me to feel again now, is it? You see what I mean? And we do this totally unconsciously. And I spent 20 years of my life doing exactly that until my teacher, Vernon, helped me to identify those unhelpful stories and beliefs that I picked up along the way and the habits of saying certain things to myself about myself. And I became very, very skillful at giving myself a very hard time, never in the company of other people, totally in private. Some of my dearest best friends have no clue as to how spiteful I became toward myself. And I felt incredibly stuck for a very long time until he helped me to change this. And this is essentially the work that I've dedicated the last 20 years of my life to, passing on the understanding to the people who've come to see me for help. So when we listen to other people talk about their problems, listen very carefully. And I guarantee you'll hear them speak in the present tense and the future tense about their problems. And if we want to change, then we have to learn how to stop doing that.
Go a little deeper into that, how we have to stop doing that.
Okay, thank you. So here's the thing. If I do that, that's gone. I shared that moment with you, Pete. I'll never get that back as long as I live and breathe. that was a moment, yeah? But if I was to talk over and over and on and on and on about my fingers are snapping, it would be delusional and totally incorrect. If I was to talk about my fingers always snap, it would be delusional and incorrect. It would be a complete fabrication and an assumption. The fact is, my fingers snapped in that moment. When we're hurt, when we go through trauma, at the time, absolutely, it hurts. And those experiences brand themselves on the memory and in our emotions, and we carry those heavy feelings and feelings of overwhelm and defeat and anger and fear and resentment and maybe regret, all kinds of things. But what we end up doing unconsciously is we end up talking about them to ourselves as if they're still here now. My problems, my OCD, my insecurity, my anger, my fear. The word my claims ownership over something, like Gollum with the ring. My precious, you know, it belongs to me. It's my problems. And then if we claim that ownership through the word my so strongly, it's like the thing we wish we're claiming possession over actually possesses us, and we go a bit crazy like Gollum with the ring. Yeah. My anger, we carry it around like a badge. And so if our goal is to liberate ourselves from carrying around heavy feelings, uncomfortable, negative beliefs about ourselves, guilt, shame, regret, then it's really important, if we're really going to make progress, that we train ourselves out of the habit of communicating about the past as if it were the present or the future. Because every time we do that, we're back on that same wheel, repeating the same old experiences and cycles.
I have a question for you. Say somebody's listening to this and they're either a parent or they're in a relationship. They could be a husband or wife, or it could be their son or daughter. And they can see this playing out with someone nearest and dearest to them. This repetition of these stories to the point that that person is stuck and depressed and can't move forward from that traumatic experience, which may have happened 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Absolutely, yes.
What would you say to that person that can see what is happening for their child or their partner or their friend? What can they do in that moment to help that person? Is it that person's responsibility to shine a light into perhaps that dark spot for that person? Are there any little tips or tools that are subtle or profound that you can share for people to help this process, or is it best handled by a professional like yourself?
Friendships are worth their weight in gold, but it's a different thing if you're dealing with people who've experienced trauma, various types of trauma, because a friendly conversation can go a long way. But it's a different thing when a person has experience, when they've trained to be able to utilize certain tools or to describe or pass on an understanding of how to use certain tools, so that the person who's been through challenging experiences can learn how to use those tools within themselves and for themselves and by themselves. So it's for this very reason that I've created the website that we have with the courses that we're running, is to pass on the understanding to more people around the world. And the whole point really is because one thing Vernon said to me when I was leaving his house in East London when he was still alive, he said, "It's a little bit like this. I've been around the track like in a relay race, and I'm passing you this baton, and I'm taking the time and the care to explain to you how this does great good so that it makes sense to you to pick this up, and I want you to run with it, and I want you to pass it to as many people as you possibly can. Explain to them how this does great good so that they in turn will pick the baton up and run with it and pass it to other people. And that's how this will spread," is what he said. So I'm honoring that, by making this methodology and the understanding available to people through the courses we run on the website. But the whole point of it is because I believe that the world needs more people who've learned how to overcome unnecessary suffering, self-doubt, fear, the lower emotional trappings.
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical, or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions, or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.